You know, I heard a comedian the other day said that he was riding down the road and he saw this yellow, this orange sign that said bump ahead. And then he went on down and he saw another sign that says dip ahead. And he said, why don't they just bring the dip to the bump and we wouldn't have any problems anymore? That's what many of us want God to do. Bring the dip to the bump and level it out. But the fact is that if we don't need God, we won't need him. I know that doesn't even make sense in the vernacular. But until we need God, we really don't know that we need him. We'll go in our own strength and we'll go forward thinking that we've got it. And God doesn't want us, he wants us bold, but in his power, in his strength. He doesn't want us bold in our own strength. He doesn't want us bold in our own knowledge. He doesn't want us bold in our own giftings. He wants us bold in him. We're going to talk for the next couple Sundays about, you might call them New Year's resolutions. We're not going to put that tag on them. You know, a lot of times we make New Year's resolutions. But things that we want to get better in our life. We're going to talk about three different areas. One, prayer and fasting. One, our faith life. And one, our devoted life, the biblical aspect of our life. And you may think, well, those are just elementary. Well, let me tell you what happens if we begin to ignore any of those areas, is things get cluttered in our life. One of the things Susan and I do a lot of times in January is kind of go through the clutter. We've gone as big as the attic to as small as just one closet. And what we found is over the year, the hidden places have gotten cluttered. And unless we make a decision to clean it out and sort it, it'll stay cluttered. But that really goes for our spiritual lives too. If we are not where we need to be in our prayer life, it gets cluttered with other things. And when it gets cluttered, it's no longer useful. You know, the closet that we have, we got a hall closet, and it's got a variety of things in it. But sometimes it gets so full, it's of no other value for us because you can't get anything else in there. And you've all got those closets. When someone's coming over, you say, well, just stick it in there. Well, we got to stick it in their closet. And ever so often, we have to attend to it. Sometimes we can get so regimented and full of clutter that the things that really matter in our spiritual life really begin to fade. I don't think anybody here really is a prayerless person, but I wonder how many of us need to shore that up a bit. There's a lot of misconceptions about prayer. Some of them are prayer has to be long and elaborate. It doesn't have to be. Another one, prayer has to follow a certain pattern. There is a pattern in the New Testament, but it's not a rigid pattern. Another misconception is God doesn't hear your prayer if you sin. You know, how crazy is that? Because if you're like me, I sin every day. I'm not proud of it, but I do. So if I thought that he would only hear my prayer if I had not sinned, I'd be in this vicious cycle. Another misconception is I got to pray through a saint or a priest or maybe the Virgin Mary. Another one, if two or more are gathered together in prayer, God's more likely to hear. God's going to hear you by yourself. Another one is we must assume a certain position for our prayers to be heard. It's not true. Another one is we must be praying at the exact moment when a situation is happening in order for God to work. Now, many times we'll ask, when is your test and when is your surgery, and to have those times in our minds so we can pray. But the truth of it is we've already started praying. We're not limited to that. If we miss up and our alarm doesn't go off and remind us to pray, it's not all lost. We can pray. Those misconceptions sometimes keep us from praying. But I want to encourage you that prayer is just this conversation with the Creator of the universe. It's a vehicle that God has given us to talk and listen and connect with Him. Prayer is a burden lifter. Prayer strengthens, prayer is an opportunity for God to pour into us. Prayer strengthens our relationship with God and our heavenly, with God. He's our Heavenly Father. Prayer is the lifeblood of a Jesus follower. Prayer shouldn't be considered an option for a Jesus follower. It's necessity. Prayer should not be a drudgery, but counted as a great privilege. I wanted to share with you my daily routine. Not that it's the only way, but it's my way. First thing I do in the morning is I'll cut on instrumental worship. That is, unless I wake up with a song in my heart. Many times, some of these songs that Pastor AJ teaches us, they'll resonate. And I'll wake up with that very song. And I may not remember the title, but the beauty of this age that we're in, you can put the lyrics in Google, and it'll come up, and you'll see the title, and you'll know the title. And then if you've got a way to get music, you can get music. So if I wake up with a song in my heart, I will play that over and over and over and over again. To me, listening to worship music first thing in the morning helps me set the tone for the day. If I don't set the tone for the day, my day can go off the rails very quickly. See, I look at prayer like a conversation with the one that loves me more than anybody else. The one who loves me when I'm unlovable. The one that loves me when I blow it. The one that loves me when I disappoint him. The one that wants the best for me. The one that will always defend me. The one that sacrificed everything for me. That's the conversation we're talking about. And then I pull out my journal. It's nothing fancy. It's a composition book. And I begin to write my prayer. I do much better writing out my prayer. And my prayer always begins with this: "Good morning, Jesus." Now, you may not pray first thing in the morning, and I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying this is what I do. So I say, "Good morning, Jesus." And I begin to write out the things that are on my heart. Sometimes it's words of worship and adoration. Sometimes it's words of thanksgiving. Sometimes it's words of relief. Sometimes it's words of urgency. Sometimes it's the things that are weighing on me for that day. Sometimes it's worldwide concerns. Sometimes it's personal concerns. It really varies, but I begin pouring out my heart to God. Then after that, I pray for the church needs. The last 3 years have been particularly hard for the church financially. So there's always issues that we need God to move in. And it's one of the reasons I ask you every Sunday to be praying for the finances of the church during the week. Because it's a big one, and one we need to see victory in. And then I'll pull out my list of people that I pray for every day. Many of you are on that list. In fact, that list gets longer every week. And just so you'll know, I feel honored to be able to bring you up to the Father on a regular basis. If you want to be on that list, just let me know. And it's not to my credit, because it is an honorable position to bring someone to the Father. Even if I don't know your particular need, I can rest assured that God knows what you need when I bring your name up to Him. And my journaling will go on with that, and that will take easily a page of names. And when I find that time is kind of ebbing, I'll always end with, "I love you, Jesus." Now that my journaling's over, my praying, actual praying part is over, but while I stay in the attitude of prayer, I'll read the devotional for the day. If you didn't get it, if you don't have a devotional, we've got them. But I read that. It's very, very short, and I am absolutely amazed at how applicable it is every day. You'd be surprised at how many people think I write that thing. Oh, to be that smart. Oh, to be that good. But it is powerful how God can use that in your life. And then I'll read a chapter in the Bible. All the time asking God to reveal something new to me. Speak to me through your word, God. I'm in Romans right now. And this past week, reading the second chapter of Romans, which I've read hundreds of times, the last part of the first verse jumped off the page to me. I highlighted it. I underlined it. I actually even posted it. And it says this: every time you criticize someone, you condemn yourself. I went, ouch. Because I can be critical. Susan said, why did you post that? I said, because it was so convicting. In just sometimes conversation, I can criticize. And I don't want to do that to God's people, God's creations. But think about this. You're going to pay for that. And that verse, and if you go into any of your Bible reading with the heartfelt attitude, speak to me, God. I've just poured my heart out to you. You know my flaws and my failings. Speak to me. He will. God revealed that to me that day because I needed to hear it. Then, and only then, I feel I'm ready to take on the day. But here's what I find happens in my prayer time to God each day. My relationship with God is fostered. My commitment to God is renewed. I am built up. I am strengthened. I am sharpened. I am convicted of my sinful ways. I am grounded. I am focused. And I am at peace. Certain personalities, the moment you wake up in the morning, the burdens of the day go. Whoosh. If I don't do this, I'm going to be in bad shape all day. It is a necessity that I do this just to stay okay. And it's because I need Him. And I need to foster that relationship. In 1963, Coca-Cola launched a new advertising campaign with a new slogan. Those of you that are my age and older will remember this. It's a rebrand in today's vernacular. Things go better with Coke. Most of you weren't born then, but the ones of us who are know, we knew when that happened. Things go better with Coke. Well, I want to tell you that in my life's experience, things go better with prayer. I can tell immediately when I've neglected my prayer routine. Susan can say the same for her. Sometimes when the day starts, it is like a floodgate and it just throws your order off. But I can tell the moment that happens. When Jesus was training the disciples in this new way of living, prayer was one of the topics he covered. And here's what he said, Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for 15 minutes of fame. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can imagine. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense His grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They are full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, And he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. In prayer, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't forgive. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. Let these verses be that framework to keep you on track with your prayer life. It's very simple. Just pour out your heart to God. Acknowledge who He is. Embrace the love that He has for you. And for some of you that maybe have never journaled, you'll be surprised at how much you write if you just sit down and do it. I have never been one that journaled. I probably started about 15 years ago. Never did well in writing classes or English classes or any of those things. Never felt I could do it. But when you sit down and ask the Lord to help you, you'll be amazed at how much you write. And as powerful as our prayer is, there's another component that I call prayer on steroids, and that's fasting. Jesus covers this in his training too in Matthew 6, starting in verse 16. And when you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go into training inwardly, and that's what Jesus was doing, he was training the disciples inwardly, act normal outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you're doing, and he'll reward you well. Now, all that's out of the Message version, in case you thought I was just making that up. The Message version is the Bible written in a like a novel in many ways. And it's very practical. I look at a lot of different versions. But when you want to communicate in this culture, this is a good one to do it with. Now, fasting requires a bit more commitment than just your prayer routine. All right, maybe you've got the daily thing of prayer taken care of, but haven't quite got the fasting. Some of our leaders have committed to fast a day a week for the finances of the church. Listen, it takes discipline to fast. But the payoff in the spirit realm is tremendous. Fasting is not designed to be a weight loss program, although you could experience that depending on how long you do it. Fasting is not designed to be a sign of your spiritual maturity to others. Fasting is not a magic potion. Fasting does not make you a better Christian. But listen, when our heart is right, God can use fasting as a miracle-working discipline and component of our prayer life. Honestly, I've never been that super successful in fasting. But that doesn't keep me from implementing this into my prayer life. So what is fasting? Fasting is the giving up of something natural that we desire to devote more time in prayer. That's what it is. Very simple. There are all kinds of fasting, and it's not always food related, although most of the time we think that. It's commonly thought of in food, but it could be a fasting of one meal. It could be a fasting of favorite foods. It could be fasting of certain activities, habits, or fasting of particular actions. Whatever you want to give up to spend more time in prayer, God is going to accept that as fasting. See, God is not too concerned about what you're fasting, but that you're putting prayer in place of that. When I'm fasting, food, that's where I use it, I keep my mind on God throughout the day more than I would if I had not been fasting. And how do you do that? Well, I'll tell you what I do. Hunger pains, or the reminder of what you're doing without, prompts me to pray more. If I go without breakfast and lunch, my body feels it. Now, maybe you got a lot stored up and you don't have to, but I feel it. In fact, we were in a staff meeting the other day, and I'm thinking, now usually on Wednesday we have a staff meeting, and usually after staff meeting, I eat lunch. Well, I've started fasting on Wednesdays. So here we are in the staff meeting. It's winding down, and my stomach is just a growling, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be awesome. I get lunch. And then I went, oops, I'm fasting today. So those hunger pains actually are a reminder, and it will keep you on track. But it may be an activity that you're giving up. I don't know. Maybe it's that you want to sacrifice something in that way. You can, whatever you want to give up, God is going to recognize that if you pray more. If your attention is drawn more to Him. On the days that I fast, my mind is more on God constantly because of my physical need. Now, that's just the way we're wired. We're built to need food. Now, I caution you, if your doctor says you can't go without a meal or two, if that throws things off, I caution you not to do it unless you know that God said do it. Fast something else. Fast talking bad about the pastor. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Give up something that you enjoy doing. But replace it with a consciousness of, wait a minute, I'm standing for these things. Whatever I'm fasting for, maybe it's family, or maybe it's your own finances, whatever it is. But the bottom line is that there is real power in fasting. Here's an example from God's Word in Mark chapter 9. You probably know this starts in verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, tell me, Jesus, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they couldn't. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. This is Jesus speaking. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, the boy, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and he wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long, the boy's father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown himself both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. See, anything that has gripped our life is there from the enemy is there to destroy you. He said, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. But then he reminded himself of his own humanness. Help my unbelief. And many times when we're standing for things, we'll hear ourselves saying, I believe. And then we'll start to have some unbelief. Well, let's ask the one that can give us that power to help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. There is something, those things in our life that are big, big, big. They're going to take more than just a passing prayer. They're going to take some real dependence on our part to the Lord. See, when we fast, the reason we are fasting becomes more important than any comfort that which we are fasting could give us. If food is more important than the answer to your prayer, fasting is not going to work. But it has to get to the point that the sacrifice, the end result, is more important than what happens to make me comfortable. As we start out this new year, we need to pay attention to our prayer life and how God wants us to increase that discipline as we live for Him. We've all gone through times that we just give Him a sentence or two and feel like we've done it. But that's not what God wants. If you did that to your mate, you'd never build a relationship. If I had not gotten to the point that I would share out of my deepest innermost with Susan, we would have never formed a relationship. It would have all been surface. Might have been friends, but it would have never become what it is. Jesus just wants us to pour out our hearts to Him. And He wants to help you. He wants to help me. He doesn't want us stuck. He doesn't want us in a place of desperation. He wants us trusting Him all the way. So I don't know how your prayer life is, and maybe yours is better than mine. Who knows? But God wants us to pay attention to that closet, that prayer closet. He wants us to make it of value. And there's some things that are really big in our life. God wants to say, would you give up something for that? Would you give up some food and pray a little bit more for your children to be saved? Would you give up food and be willing to pray a little bit more for that family that just experienced great loss? See, the reason we fast has to be bigger than what we're giving up, or you'll never be successful in it. And listen, if you never fasted before, I don't suggest you just say, I'm going to do a 40-dayer starting today. You know, that's not wisdom. Let's see if you can give up one meal first. Let's see if you're successful there. Now, I'm not talking about going on a diet for a meal. I'm talking about replacing that time of eating with concentrating on God. Prayer, receiving from Him, talking to Him. You might say, well, how can I fast? I'm at work. Listen, you can do all kinds of stuff in your head, in your heart. While you're doing mechanical things, you can do it. You can say, God, I want you to speak to me while I'm doing this. Lord, you know the reason that I'm fasting. And Lord, the reason I'm not taking any food today, this thing that I'm worried about is bigger than that need, the need for food. And I can give that up and I can seek you. And you'd be surprised at how creative you can be in talking to God. There's an hymn that said, He walks with me and talks with me a long life's something way. I want to say merry way, but I'm not sure it's merry way. But anyway, you get my point. He wants us just to converse with Him. It doesn't have to be just the time that you set in the morning that you talk to Him. He wants you to talk to Him all the time. He wants you to tell Him when you're upset. He wants you to tell Him when you're excited. He wants you to tell Him when you got a problem. He wants you to tell Him when somebody's getting on your nerves. He wants you to tell Him when you're not enough, when you know you're not enough and that you got this thing in front of you. See, God wants all those details. Not that He has to have the details to know it. He knows them, but He wants you to trust Him with it. He wants you to trust Him with your life. As we identify the more urgent or difficult issues that we face, I just encourage you to take the prayer steroid serious. Bodybuilders, you know, they shouldn't use steroids, I think, but it's a massive thing that happens in their bodies. It's not healthy, but fasting is that and more in the spirit realm, and it's good for you. All of a sudden, you're seeing answers to prayer that you've never seen before. You're seeing things happen, fall into place, and what you need to be reminding yourself is something's changed in you. That you've looked at this differently. You need to pray with expecting God to move. We're going to talk some about faith next week, but expecting God to move. You know, you're not praying to a statue. You're not praying to a historical personality. You're praying to the living God, the only one that can make moves. He's the only one that can make things happen. That's who we're praying to. And as we expect Him to move, remember the verse from last week, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. What if we started 2024 being more diligent in our life of prayer and fasting? I'll bet you this time next year, every single one of you would be able to fill a sermon full of the answered prayers that you'd seen over the last 12 months. See, God is not going to not answer. He may answer them different. And that's the beauty of trusting God. You just tell God you need, knowing that He knows the best way for that to come. How many times do we spend efforts telling God how to do things when He knows everything and He knows what's good for us down the road? We may settle for a quick fix when God wants to do something that'll affect generations. I believe that prayer and fasting is key. If you're not praying systematically, start this year. There's a church in Tennessee that I read about sometimes. Their pastor, now I'm not doing this, their pastor challenged them to read the Bible, clean Bible, complete Bible in 30 days. That is 38 chapters a day. I'm not doing that to y'all. I'm not doing that to me. But that's just a challenge that He put before His people. I'm just asking you to start praying regularly. And for the hard stuff, let's fast. And if you want to join in one day a week fasting for the finances of the church, we'd love to have you do that. This is your church. It's not our church. It's our church. It's not my church. But God can do things miraculously when we just give up stuff. Sacrifices. He's the ultimate sacrifice. He gave everything just for us. And sometimes we don't want to give Him 30 minutes just to build a relationship with, when we're the benefiter of the relationship. You know, sadly to say this, God can have a good day without us talking to Him. He's got plenty to do, plenty of people to do. But there's a benefit that we have in the kingdom as we prioritize our prayer and fasting life. So I don't know what yours looks like, don't have to know. But I challenge each of you where you are. And is God stretching you a bit more? Does God want you to do a little bit more? Does God want you to be a little bit more intentional? Does God want you to be a little more faithful? I don't know. That's between you and God. But what I do know is He's able to do more than we could even dream up in our wildest dreams. That's what His Word says. That we can come up with all kinds of solutions, but God can beat that. We will settle for just a little bit of manna sometime when He wants to give us a whole lot more than that. So we engage our faith. And again, we'll talk about faith next week. We want to make sure that our faith, our life is full of faith. That we are people that are pleasing God, that are full of faith. But let's make sure that we've got this relationship, that we're cultivating that on a daily basis. Because God wants to pour into you new things. You may read something that you've read 100 times and it means something fresh to you when you've concentrated on this. That God, would you just come? Good morning, Jesus, I'm here. And you just begin to pour out your thoughts. And don't get worried about God, of giving him all your thoughts. He already knows them. Don't get worried. Susan told me this. She says, when she dies, I have to burn all her journals. I can't read them. I got to burn them. Because that's a personal thing that you just pour out your heart. And you tell God things that you're probably not going to tell anybody else. But that's exactly where God wants you. He wants you telling him those things. He wants you owning those things. He wants you being that transparent with him, because he knows when you're that transparent, he can get his stuff in you. If you are so out there with who you are, he can show you where you're wrong and give you what it takes to change your position. God is so good like that. And he loves you, and he looks forward to your time with him. He really does. It is like a proud papa looking down at his children, and they're being real to him. They're not putting on airs. They're not puffing themselves up. They're just coming to Jesus and say, oh, I've blown it again. I said that word I shouldn't have said. I judged somebody I shouldn't. I criticized somebody I shouldn't have done that. Lord, just forgive me. And I really don't want to do that anymore. And that's a heart that God can do something with. A heart that's so soft and supple and willing to be transparent, but willing to be corrected. And all that happens in our time with him. Your Bible reading will take on a whole different component if you're conversing first, that you're preparing that. You're just not coming straight in the house blasting. You're talking to him. You're thanking him. You're recognizing his lordship, his goodness, his power. And then you begin to share all the needs that you have. And then you begin to turn it toward other people's needs. And listen, you need to be praying for other people more than you're praying for yourself. If you need a list, there are people that would love for you to lift their name up to Jesus every day. And it's a pleasure to do that. So look at the components of your prayer life. You know, are you worshiping? Are you honoring him? Adoration? Are you asking forgiveness? Are you repenting of your sins? Because listen, all of us are going to sin. As long as we're on this side of heaven, we're going to sin. But there is there's redemption, which is wonderful. That we're not stuck in our sin. So I want you to stir yourselves up so that we have a praying church. Not only praying corporately as we do, but individual members of the body praying and praying and praying. And if you need things to pray about, call me. I'll tell you something to pray about. If you can't come up with enough on your own, I can give you some. But I'm just saying, we need God at every juncture. We need him in our world. We need him in our government. We need him in our businesses. We need him in our homes. We need him in our schools. We need him everywhere. So if you run out of things to pray about, just let me know and we'll get you that. But I'm going to challenge you this year to pray, to build your prayer life like never before. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.